Let's talk about psychedelics in the workplace, navigating the roles, responsibilities, and risks. Because mismanaged psychedelics can quickly become a liability for organizations. My name is Peggy Van de Plage. I'm an author, I'm a public speaker, and I'm an entrepreneur in the psychedelic space. I used to be in finance. And now I talk and write about psychedelics. So, you know that if you've been listening to my work, I am a fervent advocate for the strategic and mindful practice of psychedelics for performance and mental wellness. However, it is nonetheless very difficult for me not to recognize that the psychedelic gentrification is making things quite complicated for organization. So now organizations have to understand what is happening in their states and cities regarding psychedelics policies, and the field is moving extremely quickly on top of that. They have to understand the decriminalization, but also the increased therapeutic use of psychedelics, and that will ask for a re-evaluation of their drug use policy at work. Practices such as microdosing for mental health and performance are widely different from recreational trips. Or will companies take that into consideration while balancing employees' rights? What about psychedelics retreat abroad? Psychedelics are still mostly a Schedule I substance, making many employees criminals in the eyes of the law. Are we going to see the same old don't ask, don't tell approach, even if the goal of a practice is mental wellness? The misuse of psychedelics can also imply safety concerns for employees, clients, or suppliers. And what about the reputational risks? Think about Tesla, Elon Musk, and ketamine. Will organizations take their responsibilities and finally admit that the pressure to conform and perform makes a number on employees' health, especially their mental health? And will we finally see class actions from individuals feeling pushed in the arms of psychedelics or alcohol, Zyn, Adderall, cocaine in order to handle the competitive pressure? So let's talk about that in more detail. So, in the modern corporate environment, the emergence of psychedelics in the workplace poses a unique challenge for board members and managers. While federal law prohibits their use, the reality is that employees are increasingly turning to psychedelics, including microdosing, for various reasons. So we will explore in this edition the roles, the responsibilities, and the risks that board members and managers face in navigating this complex issue. We aim to highlight the imperative for leaders to address this issue proactively, emphasizing the implementation of best practices to navigate this complex terrain effectively. So first, the roles. So board members and managers play a crucial role in addressing the presence of psychedelics in the workplace. They must recognize the significance of this phenomenon and take proactive steps to address it effectively. While psychedelics remain classified as Schedule I substances under US federal law, their presence in the workplace cannot be ignored any longer. Many employees are turning to psychedelics, including microdosing, as a means of enhancing well-being, creativity, and performance at work. As stewards of their organizations, leaders must acknowledge the reality of this phenomenon and also recognize the need to address it in a responsible and proactive manner. So, companies are increasingly recognizing the importance of ensuring the safety and well-being of their employees. So by assuming leadership in this area, they can ensure the safety and well-being of their employees while maintaining a productive environment. So they really have a big role to play. So what are their responsibilities? So in the face of this challenge, the challenge that psychedelics is bringing into the workplace, board members and managers must prioritize the implementation of best practices when it comes to, again, the proliferation of psychedelics. And this includes first revising policies and communication. So drug policies, revising workplace drug policies in order to align with changing regulations, but also educate employees on the potential risks and repercussions associated with substances. So that's the first thing. The second is revising workplace handbooks. Updating workplace handbooks have to be reflected and reflect the organization's stance on psychedelics use and provide guidance on navigating related issues. Accordingly, the third thing is communication. Effectively communicating with employees about the organization's policies, expectations, and available educational resources regarding psychedelics in the workplace. Fourth is related to legal insights. Individuals who engage in microdosing may unknowingly violate workplace policies or legal boundaries. Managers should be equipped to address potential legal ramifications stemming from the use of psychedelics, particularly in contexts intertwined with occupational duty. Then, taking responsibilities, recognizing that many employees are engaging in microdosing practices to improve their performance at the office, navigate their careers, reduce their stress and anxiety while maintaining their mental wellness. And last but not least, it's compassion. Understanding that practices such as microdosing psilocybin are not addictive and support the mental health and performance of employees. So if you are interested actually to educate your board on the best practices pertaining to psychedelics in the workplace, you can reach out to me because I do keynote on this specific topic. So you can go on my website, themicrodosediet.com, reach out to me, and we will discuss the opportunity to work together. The second important responsibility that managers, leaders of organizations have is about educating employees on best practices. And so mindful practice, I talked about mindful practice, promoting a culture of mindfulness and intentionality surrounding psychedelic use and facing responsible consumption and respectful integration. The second one is best practices around quality products, ensuring that employees know that psychedelics should be sourced from reputable and reliable sources, prioritizing purity and safety. And the third one is about strategic protocol. And it's about ensuring that employees know the importance of mindful protocols for the use of psychedelics, including guidelines for dosage, administration, supervision, and access to mental health resources. So you might ask, why would an organization want to educate their employees on psychedelics? Well, think about it's a bit similar to sexual education in school. You might say to the kids, you need to abstain for any sexual relations, but you know it's unlikely to happen. So you want them to do it in the most safe and secure way, and that is very similar. The goal is not to encourage employees in one way or another, but the goal is to make sure that whatever happens is very safe. So the third thing I want to talk about is the risks. So in recent years, numerous accounts have emerged of founders turning to psychedelics to enhance their performance, driven by the pressure from investors seeking to back extraordinary individuals. Additionally, stories have surfaced about venture capitalists hosting psychedelic retreats for leaders of their portfolio companies, and leadership teams experimenting with psychedelics altogether. So such practices introduce considerable risks to organizations. And many organizations are unknowingly at risk even without engaging in this extreme behavior. So the first type of risk is obviously the legal risks. And I would say first is federal prohibitions. In the US, psychedelics, even microdosing, psilocybin, are classified as Schedule I substances under federal law, exposing organizations to legal risks if they condone or facilitate their use in the workplace. Second is compliance challenges. Navigating the legal landscape surrounding psychedelics requires careful attention to changing regulations and jurisdictional differences, presenting compliance challenges for organizations. The third legal risk is class actions. Employees and partners justifying their use of psychedelics by the pressure to succeed within their organization. Next is employee safety. Organizations have a responsibility to ensure the health and safety of their employees, which includes providing a safe and healthy work environment. And last but not least on the legal risk is reputation risks. Organizations that are perceived as condoning or facilitating the use of psychedelics could face reputational damage, which could obviously impact their ability to attract and retain customers, employees, but also have a potential to lower their valuation. So the next type of risk is health risks. So the first one is occupational hazards. Impaired cognitive function and decision-making associated with psychedelic use may compromise employee productivity and pose occupational hazards in certain roles. And the second one is, you know, potential consequences. So mindless use of psychedelics can have health consequences such as adverse reactions, posing risks to employee well-being and safety. So as a conclusion, you know, navigating the presence of psychedelics in the workplace presents a significant challenge for board members and managers. And today it is absolutely under the radar, actually. Leaders have a critical role to play in addressing the presence of psychedelics in the workplace and by assuming responsibility for implementing best practices, revising policies, and effectively communicating with employees, they can mitigate potential risks while fostering a safe and supportive work environment. So it is essential for board members and managers to approach this challenge with diligence, compassion, and a commitment to promote employee well-being and organizational success. So as you can see, there is more than meet the eye when it comes to psychedelics in the workplace and in terms of roles, responsibilities, and risks for organizations. So again, my name is Peggy van der Plage. This is the Microdose Diet. You can go on my website, the Microdose Diet, if you're interested in discussing this topic in particular for your organization. You can reach out to me through my website or through LinkedIn or any social platform. Thank you so much for listening and wishing you a great week. Bye-bye.